From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 29th day of November, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll hear about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Dan O'Brien from K-State will be here to take up ethanol and the agricultural energy markets. Dave Dickey will look at the agricultural news for the afternoon. And we'll hear from Gary Schnitke about yesterday's changes in the premiums for crop insurance. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Murray Wise Associates, a nationwide agricultural advisory firm and land auction company specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of farmland and agribusiness investments. Land, auctions, agribusiness. More information is at murraywiseassociates.com.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day higher. December wheat at $5.94.5, up 19 and 3 quarters. March at $6.16, up 23 cents. July, the new crop at $6.43 and 3 quarters for soft red, up 21 and a half cents. July hard red at $6.87, up 19 and 3 quarters in Kansas City. Back in Chicago from the CME's corn pit, December futures $5.98, up 6 and a quarter. March corn $6.05.5, 7 cents higher. May futures up 7 as well, $6.12.5 a settlement price. July at $6.15 and 3 quarters, up 6 and 3 quarters. And December corn, $5.50 a bushel, up 4 and a half cents. Soy complex now, soybean futures, January contract, $11.25, up 4 for the day. The March, $11.35, up 4. May at $11.44 and 3 quarters, up 4 cents. July, following suit, up 4 at $11.54, and next year's November, a gain of 5 cents at $11.41 a bushel in the bean pit. Bean meal futures at $2.86.10, down $1.70 in the December bean oil at $49.18, up 27 cents. Live cattle futures finished the nearby December contract at $120.57.5 per 100 pounds, down 37.5 cents. February futures at $122.45. A dime lower. Now the feeder cattle January contract up 10 cents, 144.82.5. The March at 147.25 for the feeders, down 10 cents. And December lean hogs, $88 even, 45 cents higher. The February futures at $91.20, up 62.5 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures, $99.78 a barrel, up $1.56. Ethanol at $2.48.5, 7 tenths of a cent higher. Natural gas at $3.63.5, up 11 cents. Heating oil, 6 cents higher for the day at $3.03. And gold futures at $1,713.40 an ounce. That's up $2.60. The Dow now at 11,580, just about 58 points higher. The dollar at 79 even. 0.25 lower for the day. The CRB index stands at 310.46, 2.5 higher. The S&P at 11.96, up 4.3 for the day. The weather forecast says this afternoon a storm system will bring in gusty northerly winds to the Urbana-Champaign area. Additional rainfall today will total up to half an inch as that storm system pulls away. By the way, the rain will become mixed with or change to snow. That'll be happening late this afternoon into the evening hours. At this time, it appears, says the National Weather Service, that snow accumulations will be minimal with around, this is what they call minimal, 1 inch possible near the Indiana border from Hoopston to Paris. However, motorists planning on traveling east into parts of central and north central Indiana, well, they should be on the alert for the potential for wet snow accumulations of several inches late today and this evening. The extended forecast right on tonight says a chance of rain and snow before midnight. It'll be cloudy, gradually becoming partly cloudy, a low of 25 this evening, blustery with a north-northwest wind at 15 to 20 miles an hour, gusting to 33. And then tomorrow, sunny skies, a high near 40 degrees, northwest winds at 7 to 14 miles an hour, with winds gusting as high as 17. Wednesday night, clear and a low of 25. Thursday, sunny and a high near 43 degrees.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us today, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, as usual, from New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
It sounds like you might be in for a little snowfall in your direction this afternoon.
Hey, it's been snow-rain mix here since about noon, and it's just not lovely out.
Well, it is November, almost December at this point, so I suppose it's time for a change in the weather. And for the past couple of days, we've had a nice little change in what the marketplace has been doing. We were higher again today. What'd you think?
Well, you know, we had a couple good things basically happen. We continue to get some good news of some possible economic recovery out of Europe with the idea that they might use some of their gold to back up some of their notes, that we saw some of the bonds being sold in Italy where they were scared there might not be buyers. You know, different things along those lines happening, and with France and Germany coming a little more in line with how they're going to back things up over there. So between that, the crude oil price going up, and the Dow Jones finding some stability, and the gold market finding a little stability, all those things along with end-of-the-month short covering brought us a higher market today, Todd.
Put that in context with what you think the fundamentals for the marketplace, supply and demand, look like at this time?
Supply and demand. You know, as most of the stuff said, we're going to trade the macro headlines today. We started off with most all the news wires this morning, so not a lot. The one thing that it does tell us is that corn is not really moving because of the basis levels.
Mm-hmm.
The basis levels, we're paying 30 over at the two ethanol plants here on either side of Newmarket, down in Cloverdale and up in Linden. That tells us corn is tight and not moving right now. So the bin doors are shut. The farmers aren't selling. But as we've watched our last 2 weeks' exports and export shipments, we aren't exporting the corn like we would like to either. We have seen some pretty good export numbers the last couple weeks in the beans. We've seen China continue to take a few more better numbers of beans, but we're still behind last year's number, I think, by about 31%. Last year was an aberration way to the high side, but we are still behind to get to where our government projections are for our exports, Todd.
No. Farmers have bin doors closed. Are they full behind those doors?
That's the big question. Is the farmer a big holder of grain instead of elevators this year, or do we really have a shorter crop than what we think we possibly had? And that is a big question out there. I think that it's a $64,000 question for most everybody out there to decide. I think there's a lot of corn in the farmers' bins, but I think that when we come to January, the government will probably have a little smaller number.
Yeah, but just a couple of months ago, when we were in the midst of harvest, at least in this part of the world and to the west, in September and then in October, of course, we were 80 cents to a dollar higher in corn and, I don't know, $1.50 to $2 higher in soybeans. Producers have not been willing sellers for quite some time. Do you think that they ought to reconsider that before we go too much farther into the marketing year?
I think if they're holding a lot of grain here on this rally, probably some should be sold. And even if we don't have as much of a rally, they should move some on the basis levels that we're bidding on here right now.
Why?
Because we can always, at the levels we're looking at here, you know, somebody said, well, they're going to really have to pay up for corn come this July. Well, we can always go a little farther away where there isn't a shortage of corn and buy it at a higher basis level if the elevators own it. And they said, well, corn could get to a dollar over. And they said, we can always buy corn and pay the freight out of, say, Iowa or different places where they're corn plush rather than corn deficit, and they won't get to a dollar spread over the board to do that. So that's one of the reasons I think that it's not a bad idea. The other thing is we are looking at some tremendously large acres forecast to be planted this spring or the coming spring, and we can't plan on bad weather every year, and so that would probably say that we should have some good crops coming on the next year. And also, as we look at South America, let's be very honest, they've made some tremendously fast progress and planted more acres of corn and beans down there, and they seem to be doing great. And we have been battled so hardly by, Russia last year. We're over five times as much exports coming out of that area in the Black Sea area that's going off and filling some of the needs around the rest of the world.
Thanks so much, Wayne.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Now here's Dave Dickey with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the 17 finance ministers of the countries that use the euro converged on the EU headquarters today in a bid to save their currency and to protect Europe, the United States, Asia, and the rest of the global economy from a debt-induced financial tsunami. The ministers were discussing ideas that would have been taboo only recently, including ceding fiscal sovereignty to a central authority, some kind of elite group of euro nations that would guarantee one another's loans but require strong fiscal discipline from anyone wanting membership. Changes to existing eurozone rules are being touted as one way the eurozone can get out of its debt crisis, which has already forced bailouts of Greece, Ireland, and Portugal, and is threatening to engulf bigger economies, such as Italy, the eurozone's third largest. U.S. regulators and law enforcement officials believe a bankruptcy trustee has overestimated the amount of customer funds missing at MF Global. One source said yesterday that regulators believe at least $220 million is being double-counted by the trustee, taking the total shortfall at the brokerage to just under $1 billion. A law enforcement source told reporters last week that federal investigators also doubt the $1.2 billion figure. MF Global filed for Chapter 11 protection on October 31st after the New York-based company revealed it had made a $6.3 billion bet on European sovereign debt. France's highest court yesterday overturned the country's ban on growing a strain of genetically modified corn developed by U.S. biotech firm Monsanto, saying it was not sufficiently justified. The decision follows a ruling by the European Court of Justice in early September, saying France has based its decision to impose a moratorium on the growing of Monsanto's insect-resistant Mon 810 maize on the wrong EU legislation. But France's agriculture minister told reporters in Parliament that Paris would seek to maintain the ban despite the State Council's decision. And Oil World Today says that current low vegetable oil and oil meal prices may spark more importing. And Oil World Today says that current low vegetable oil and oil meal prices may spark more import and industrial buying in coming weeks as importers and industry rebuild supplies. Oil World says that vegetable oil prices in particular are expected to rise in the January-March 2012 quarter when world production will be seasonally low and stocks are forecast to decline. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. In studio with us, Gary Schnitke, Farm Management Specialist, member of the Farm Doc Daily team. Yesterday, Gary, the United States Department of Agriculture released a revised set of crop insurance premium numbers. I believe they dropped by 7% for corn and 9% for soybeans. That's nationally. Have you looked at the maps and can you tell us what it means for Illinois?
Yeah, we haven't looked at the maps yet, but if it holds true to what we've what we've seen in the past, or what preliminary results would say, is that those premium reductions would be higher in Illinois and Iowa, or the heart of the Corn Belt. That study was based on looking at premiums relative to payouts. So, and what they concluded was is that the premiums in the Midwest were too high relative to the payouts. So we have to adjust just the premiums. Nationally, 7%. I would expect that to be higher in Illinois, probably in the 10 to 12% range.
And was it that the Midwestern states, Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, were carrying the load of the cost of the program, or was it just the premiums were not in line?
That's always interesting. The risk management agency is supposed to run a actuarially fair insurance book of business. So, and they have been doing that. But what we've seen is that corn and soybeans have had lower loss ratios, and many of the other crops have had higher. So as they adjust rates for corn and soybeans down, they'll have to likely do some other premium changes to keep their premiums in line to what they want to accomplish.
You work with the crop insurance. When will some of the numbers that'll be useful be up on the FarmDoc website? That's at farmdoc.illinois.edu.
They will be releasing the actuarial numbers this Wednesday. And then we'll probably need about a week to get them.
Not to put you under the gun.
you'll
need a week, but you've got a week, and then after that, you'll need to get it done, and then after that, we're on the road together.
That's right. So we're going to work hard at getting them up the week after our crop insurance decision tool.
And those will be the preliminary things. They'll be in the crop insurance decision tool. Farmers can start to get a look, see how the premiums have changed because of the premium changes that USDA announced. There should be lots of differences that they'll see.
Yeah, you would expect that the premiums, given the same prices, projected prices and volatilities, will be lower, although there might have been some other changes that went on along as well. But we'll know those answers by next week.
All right, so they're releasing tomorrow.
The actuarial data master, yep.
And then by sometime next week, you hope that have that up on the FarmDoc website in the crop insurance decision tool. And then the following week, folks can hear a little bit, I suppose, about that and some other topics when we're out on the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. We hit right here in Champaign, December the 12th.
That's right. So all of that will be there will be a crop insurance section on that program.
But you're not covering it. Somebody else.
Bruce Sherrick will be.
Yeah, Bruce Sherrick is covering it. And Bruce flies in and out of Washington, D.C. pretty consistently working with RMA. What are you covering?
I'll be covering stress testing our farm. So we're going to look at, you know, moving forward, 2012 looks still like a pretty good income year. Let's look at that at some other lower prices and think about what would happen if we hit a scenario where we have low prices again.
So we'll have you and Bruce Sherrick, Daryl Good, Scott Irwin, and then we'll have
Nick Paulson on policy.
Right.
And NASS will have a session on there on how they're
from the Illinois State Office.
Yep.
All right. It should be fun. I'll be along to MC those events. They start Monday, December the 12th in Champaign, in DeKalb on the 13th. That's Tuesday. Galesburg the 14th on Wednesday. In Mount Vernon, December the 15th. And on Friday, we'll be in Bloomington. You can find all the details at the FarmDoc website, not FarmDoc Daily, but FarmDoc. It's at farmdoc.illinois.edu. They're half-day events, just $50. That includes all the materials and you get a meal at the noon hour. We'll be done by then. I think we kick off in around 7:45 in the morning or thereabouts. $50 if you sign up. You can still do that online. If you want to walk in, that's okay, but it'll cost you an extra $15, $65 just to walk in. Be sure you do come and see us. And Gary, I'm looking forward again to being on the road. Thanks for being in studio with us today, too.
You're welcome. 2 weeks.
Gary Schnitke is farm management specialist, part of the FarmDoc team in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
On the phone line now to take up the agricultural energy markets with us, Dan O'Brien from Kansas State University Extension, where he serves as an ag economist. Thanks so much, Dan, for taking the time. You sent me a few charts just before the show, some interesting things. Let's go through them. The first set of charts you showed me was ethanol from December 08 to November of this year. For the December 2011 contract and then the December 2012 contract. And I suppose the interesting thing is that we're still, while we've come down in the price of ethanol, it's much sharply lower in the December 2012 contract than the December 2011 contract.
Yes, you have to pause to think about what folks are seeing and as they look out into the future. I think, in general, if you look at both the corn futures for 2012 and the ethanol futures, there's a projection of must be a projection of an increased supply relative to usage, lower corn prices, and to some degree lower ethanol prices as well. You know, with the December 2012 sitting at 201 on the well today's close, and on November 29th, and as opposed to 248 for the upfront December contract. You know, that's a sizable drop, almost a 20%. Well, I guess it'd be about a 20% drop, wouldn't it? And so there's some projection of lower prices, and that will have, I guess, for the industry to retain profitability, that you would have to see see some type of adjustment like that again. With the as corn prices are projected at $5.50, you wonder if that would be enough to retain profitability out in 2012. If ethanol itself would fall all the way to 201,
right? So either, and that's the next question is, when you look at the difference between this year's December contract for corn and next year's, it's there's not a 20% difference at this point,
right?
And so that tells you either that there will be a whole lot less demand for ethanol, or something is askew, right?
I think there are fears in all the energy markets about what 2012 could hold with regard to economic health for the U.S. and the world economy, and I think that's being reflected in some of the lower energy prices.
And then move on to one of the other pages. You have a page that shows tank cars and trucks and the value of corn at the plants. What does that show me?
Well, although we're anticipating that there's risk for declining profitability in ethanol in the future, right now we're still sitting pretty good. Corn prices have come down some last few weeks, and you're looking at a difference between the corn price that plants in Iowa are paying for ethanol and the value that they're getting from running corn through ethanol plants, about $3.74. That's kind of a gross number. The net is quite a bit less than that, but that's still up, based on the week right before Thanksgiving, up from $3.74 here right before Thanksgiving versus $3.13 the year prior to that in 2010. And the Iowa ethanol plant simulated numbers are still showing 30 and 40 cents per gallon of profitability in the ethanol industry. So all that's good, but I think no doubt ethanol plant managers are very entrepreneurial and good risk managers, and they're looking out to the future and casting a wary eye probably as to what their cost and return structure will be as we head on into next year.
Dan, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Todd, have a great day.
You too. Dan O'Brien is with K-State University, and that wraps up for most of our radio stations and some of you, I suppose, this edition of The Closing Mark. For the rest of you, stick around. I'll be back in just a couple minutes when we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
It's National Chocolates Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1627, John Ray was born, a leading 17th century English naturalist and botanist. He contributed to the advancement of taxonomy and is often called the father of natural history in Britain. Ray established the species as a classification, his legacy to botany. in 1786, exaggerated reports that the U.S. Confederacy concluded a treaty with Spain that permanently closed the Mississippi to U.S. passage drove the Virginia House of Delegates to adopt a resolution that read in part, "The common right in navigating the River Mississippi ought to be considered as the bountiful gift of nature to the United States." In 1911, what was then the world record for a 5-minute rainfall was set in Portobello, Panama. An incredible 2.48 inches fell. During the rainy season of October to December in Panama, rain is expected daily, most often in the afternoon and generally in the form of heavy local thunderstorms. In 1929, Dallas Sharp died. An American professor of English, he was one of the most popular nature writers of his time, and he urged people to take an interest in conservation in his book, The Lay of the Land. And in 1942, the U.S. rationed coffee during World War II. Rationing created black market demand in the U.S. primarily in meat, sugar, and gasoline. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us, Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the weather forecast here. It's been cold, a little wet. Hopefully we'll see some sunshine sooner or later.
Yes, but we will have some active weather here, especially as we look ahead to the end of the week and the weekend. The system that's working its way through right now is going to make an exit here, but out to our west and basically up north, there is a storm system that's pretty far away. It's on the coast of British Columbia right now, but it's going to swing through the Rockies and the northern plain states and usher in some colder air. And what it's going to do is it's sort of going to open the door to allow more cold air to be pouring south out of Canada right into the nation's midsection. And what this is going to lead to is some colder weather. And as we get into the latter half of the weekend and early next week, we've got some chances for precipitation, and it's going to be cold enough that most of it is going to be in the form of snow. So as we get to the weekend and into next week, do be ready for some winter weather. Right here on December 1st, Thursday, is when things start to change, and that change will progress into the Midwest as we get into next week.
When you say snow, are we talking about a good-sized snow or snow that sticks? Will there be much accumulation, do you think?
Well, I think that this will be the first snow for a lot of folks in terms of minor accumulations, I'll call it right now. The system that's coming in will be a fairly quick mover. But the possibility of most of the Midwest and Corn Belt seeing widespread light to moderate snowfall is going to be pretty good with the system as it moves in. The air that's coming in out of northwest Canada is the real deal. It's pretty cold. So we're going to be looking at the coldest air of the season late this weekend and next week.
No, you keep telling me cold air. I finally got the message. How cold will we be?
Well, we're going to be cold enough that we'll have some daytime temperatures that won't leave the 30s, and night that'll be down the teens.
Wow, that's pretty cold. I bet they're warmer than that in the southern hemisphere, and they've got a nice crop coming on still.
Well, and it's looking at that trend is going to continue. Right now in South America, overall, the precipitation and temperatures are looking about, well, where they should. Temperatures might be just a hair below normal in both the growing areas of Argentina and Brazil. But when you see that this time of year, that usually means there's going to be some systems moving through bringing some needed rain, and that's exactly what's going to be happening.
It's been a really uneventful cropping season so far there. It looks to be a really good one. Is that your estimation, too?
Yeah, the way things are shaping up, I would say that's where they're headed. And we could almost say that for Australia as well. Their weather pattern is looking favorable. If we were to go to South Africa, same situation. The whole southern hemisphere appears to be in a pattern that is favorable.
Don, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. Support comes from the Farm Doc Project at the University of Illinois, holding a series of five Illinois Farm Economics Summit meetings December 12th through the 16th to discuss and analyze the most pressing economic issues facing Illinois producers. Registration and details on their website, farmdoc.illinois.edu.